do want to thank you for this time of the year. At Christmas, we thank you for an opportunity to think about and just glory in the coming of a Savior, the coming of one who is going to redeem all of those who would respond to the message of love that you have to us. Lord, we do just bless you here this morning. We do pray that you'd receive your due glory and praise. We thank you also just for your hand in our lives. We thank you that you work on our behalf. Lord, I do pray that you would just undertake for the care of your family at this time. Do think of Ben, do think of his situation and the family, and even at this time, we do pray your grace in regards to the present situation with Lord Clark South. We do just thank you that, Lord, you work in our lives, and Lord, you want to reveal your glory and grace. We do also thank you for the coming of our new pastor, Kevin and Lexi, and their family. We do thank you for a good beginning here. We do pray that you'd be glorified in all that he does and how he serves in this place. We think of others and, Lord, needs, Lord, in situations. We do just thank you that you're able to work and move. We do pray that you'd work in our midst for your glory's sake. We do pray that you'd undertake for Kevin here this morning to share your word, Lord, to just meet the needs of your people. We pray in my son's name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Hey, morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm on? Okay, good. All right. I wanted to ask you a question today. Think with me for just a moment of some really good news that you received. Like something that you got really excited about and you're like, ooh, okay, this could change everything moving forward. I was thinking about that question for a moment, and I'm a married man. So there was a time, this was years ago now, 8+ years ago, that I was really sweaty and nervous and down on one knee. And I heard possibly the best news ever. I heard my soon-to-be wife say, yes, I will marry you. And I was like, whoa, what a relief, you know, because I did, you know, all this. I wrote a song for her. There's a whole story. You got to ask her about that. It's a lot of fun. Maybe, though, if you're a parent, you're thinking of when you, you know, first heard that you were going to have a child. And maybe in that moment, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not ready for this. What's gonna happen? And you get really excited and maybe a little terrified, and then you actually go through the parenting of the child and you're like, all of that was correct. Like, it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot to do as well. Well, we're gonna talk about some really good news this morning. And we sang about it. We talk about this a lot in church, the good news of Jesus Christ. But I hope just for a moment today you would put yourself back in the field with these shepherds. You would put yourself in a moment where you didn't know what was coming. And then you heard good news, the good news that would change your life forever. Let's dig into the word though together. This is Luke 2 that we're reading in this morning. And we'll start in verse 8. We'll read to verse 21. Kind of a common Christmas passage, but again, put yourself in the field. Listen to this as if you're there. Starting in verse 8, Luke chapter 2, it reads like this. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, that's the baby, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Would you pray with me, please, as we encounter God's word? Heavenly Father, God, you are impossibly kind to us. Your love that the Burns family reminded us of. God, the fact that you sent your son Jesus to this earth. And not as some conquering king, you could have done that. A lot of people expected that. And you will do that one day. But when you sent your son to earth this first time, God, it was unexpected, unanticipated, but so, so good. God, I pray that we would listen to this good news with fresh perspective. God, there's a couple things in here that might tweak our thinking just a little bit. Continue to work in our hearts and in our lives your transformation. Speak through your word this morning, God. Get me out of the way, off the stage. You get the glory. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So if you looked at this passage, you may have just glanced up at the first few verses of chapter 2 there. Been like, oh, well, that's kind of the normal, you know, Christmas sermon, you know. Luke 2, 1 through 7, it's the birth of Jesus, really what happened there. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is it actually gives us context for our text that starts in verse 8, but it's really interesting if you think about how it happened that Mary and Joseph wound up being in Bethlehem, because they didn't live there. That was not a place that they regularly were at. They may have never been there before in their lives. They lived in a totally different place. It was about 70 miles away, a town called Nazareth. And Joseph is a carpenter. Mary, his wife, and they're raising up their son. Well, they're going to have a son, Jesus, right? And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, their experience with God and how they chose to embrace faith in God and his plan instead of fear. And it was pretty incredible because both of them had an experience with an angel. Joseph, it was in a dream. Mary, it was the angel Gabriel appearing to her. But they had an experience with an angel where the angel said, don't be afraid, do this thing that's hard. And for Joseph, it was take Mary as your wife, even though it doesn't make sense that she's pregnant. And for Mary, it was, hey, you're gonna be pregnant as a virgin. You've never been with a man. Don't worry. God's gonna do this thing. And the response for both of them was to say, I'm here. Mary put it really well. This was in our passage last week when she said in verse 38 of Luke 1, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So what do you think these two people who were, again, living in Nazareth, what do you think their response was when they heard, hey, the emperor, who doesn't believe in God, wants us to go to this particular place, back where we're from? I think they just went. I don't think they really thought too much. It's just they, you know, we always think of Mary jumping on a donkey. We don't know for sure, but they went. And it was not an easy journey. Again, this is a 70-mile journey that was probably closer to 100 miles by the time you factor in them going by a little bit easier way, because Mary is pregnant. Now, I've never been pregnant, but I've been close to a woman who has been a few times, and doesn't seem fun. And in particular, walking for miles and miles over the course of 3 or 4 days, I don't think that would really work very well when you're just about to have a baby. So that's where we get maybe she was on a donkey and this type of thing as well. But here are these people that are choosing faith. They're choosing to believe that God's way is the best way, and they're on their donkey and they're going to Bethlehem, and there Mary has this promised baby. And then our passage begins with in the same region. So right there by Bethlehem, these guys didn't live in Nazareth. They were right there by Bethlehem, the city of David, where Mary and Joseph had to travel to. They were familiar with this area. It says these shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you may have heard this type of sermon preached 100 times where we talk about how these shepherds are just normal guys, how these shepherds, you know, they're lowly, maybe. Some of our Christmas songs talk about them like that. I'm going to highlight a different aspect of these shepherds. I'm not saying those things aren't true. I don't know for sure. But I'm going to highlight a different aspect of these shepherds, because think of where they are in the same region. Where's the region? Bethlehem. Who has his name on the city of Bethlehem? King David. Why are these shepherds not named? Luke is a doctor. Remember, we talked about this last week. He goes into great detail over every person. Even the angel is named. This was the angel Gabriel, came to Joseph and Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. All these characters are named, and then he gets to the shepherds, and he just says, they're shepherds. And even in Christian tradition, we haven't named these shepherds. We're going to talk about the wise men next week. There is a traditional name for each of the wise men. The shepherds are anonymous. And sometimes we think that means they're just not that important. They don't get a name because they're kind of part of the story, but they're secondary characters. No, I think it's to highlight what they did. They took care of the flock. Look at our verse here, verse 8. They were in the field, so we knew it's probably decent weather because they're out in the field. They're not in their homes or something. They're in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Again, I go back to, who did God transform first? Who was the first shepherd that God saw his life in a certain direction, keeping watch over a flock, that then he turned his life around and it changed the people of God forever? He faced a giant with just a sling and a few stones. He had all these great military victories. He ruled the nation of Israel for a really long time. He wanted to build the temple of God, and God said, no, that'll be for your son. He was this great king, but possibly the most important thing about this guy, this reformed shepherd, is from 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, that says he was a man after God's own heart. King David. King David was a shepherd that was out keeping watch over the flock, and then God called him to much greater flocks, the people of Israel. God called him to a position of leadership. These shepherds are out in the field, and then they would become, now this is crazy to me, because God could have told this message to anybody. And frankly, guys who are out in the field with sheep all day, maybe they're not the most eloquent. Maybe they don't smell the best. You know, there's different aspects of this that you kind of think about, and you're like, if I was doing this as God, Maybe I would want to convince some leaders, or maybe I have Caesar himself, an unbeliever, but someone with authority. Suddenly, he's just preaching this good news. I had these angels appear to me, and this is what's true. But these angels appear to the shepherds. Let's keep going. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, out in the field. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Get a picture of that. It's so bright. You're going from almost falling asleep and pitch black to now it's like day. There's this, and you're probably kind of temporarily blinded. You're just waking up. You're like, oh, what's going on? Where are the sheep? It said they were filled with great fear, and that's probably humor, because I think that's an understatement, a serious understatement. Filled with great fear, obviously. It's like if you're sleeping in the middle of a highway and suddenly a semi comes the other way and you just wake up and you're like, oh, whoa, a little scary. Yeah, it was. They were filled with great fear. But the angel knew that, and the first thing the angel said, verse 10, fear not. Hey, that fear that's your gut reaction, don't worry about it. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, don't lose this, because we hear that phrase so many times around Christmas time, but we don't usually hear it other times of the year. Have you noticed that? We talk about good news, but the good news of great joy that will be for all people, let's not forget that aspect of it. This is joyful news. This isn't just something that, hey, here's something hot off the press. Check this out. It's going to rain tomorrow. That's going to be nice. We might have a white Christmas. Oh, cool. Even something a little deeper. Wait, doctor, you're saying I'm good? I've got a clean bill of health? Awesome news. This is the good news of great joy that isn't just for these shepherds out in the fields with the sheep. It's for everybody. The angel keeps going, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Did you catch that? In the city of David? Again, there's a connection here. He's talking to shepherds about the previous shepherd who was reformed and transformed. And really, that's what our big idea is for today. That we are transformed when we really hear and share the good news. So these shepherds out in the field with their flocks, they were awakened and it was crazy. It was bright all of a sudden and it didn't make a lot of sense. There was this angel, they'd probably never seen an angel before, even maybe heard about one, telling them, don't be afraid. Here's this good news of great joy that will be for all people. They were listening. They were ready to hear that. I don't know if I'd be ready in the middle of the night. Some angel shows up, and I'm like, I don't know if I can really listen to that or you know, be cognizant. Let me go, you know, grab my glasses, grab coffee, whatever you really need to feel prepared. These shepherds were surprised, but they were ready. Really hear the good news. It transforms you. But there's another aspect to this. So the message is, the good news is, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They were waiting for the Savior. They were ready. They were waiting. They didn't know when it was going to happen. They didn't know where exactly. But these shepherds were listening. Verse 12, let's not skip that. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I love that God does this. He very rarely asks us just to believe. It's not, hey, I'm an angel, believe every word out of my mouth, go and do as I say. It's, hey, this incredible thing, this impossibly good news of great joy for everybody is that Jesus Christ is born today. He's the Savior of the world. But guess what? You don't just have to take our word for it. There's going to be a sign. Here's how it's going to happen. It's weird. It might feel random. But that feed trough that you guys are familiar with, the manger, kind of looks like this over here. That's where the baby's going to be, wrapped up and just put right there. I'm like, okay, we know about that. We know where animals go to eat, and we're really familiar with. Interesting. So God is now placing his important, special, unique gift wrapped in something we're familiar with, placed in something we're comfortable around. Interesting. That's the sign. And then it keeps going. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, stop for just a moment. That's a lot of angels all of a sudden. You know, everybody else who meets an angel in Scripture, typically it's just one. There's a single angel. They show up. They say their piece. Usually it's don't be afraid because I'm a big dude and you're probably scared and that's okay. These shepherds, I mean, they get a whole angel choir, and they show up, and look at what they say. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Man, I'm glad for that message. Aren't you? Man, I am grateful for that message that God gets the highest glory. You thought about that? The credit that people get for what we do? Man, we better be bouncing it back to God. Glory to God in the highest. That's first and foremost. Before they talk more about the sign. But he says, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Notice he doesn't say world peace. He doesn't say everything is going to go well with everybody. Don't worry about it. God's taking care of it, even though he is taking care of it. He says, these angels, they say, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's something similar that the Apostle Paul echoes later when he says, God works it out for the good of those who love him in all things. There's something about following God's plan for your life that gives you peace. If you remember the story of Jesus calming the waves and the storm. He's on the boat with his disciples, and there's waves crashing all around, and it's just this, and he's asleep. They wake him up, they're terrified, kind of like the shepherds might have been in this moment. Say, Jesus, don't you care about us? We're sinking, help us. And he looks at them and he says, well, you really should be having more faith. That's the Tevin paraphrase. You really should be having more faith. But then he turns to nature itself and he says, peace, be still. He is the one who reigns over all of creation. He is the one who gets to declare peace where there once was a storm. And here the angels who have seen God and spent a great deal of time with God and have done his bidding pretty much their whole creation, created lives, are now saying, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. There's a storm in your life now. That's a message for you. God is peace. Jesus is declared the Prince of Peace. Let's keep going, though. Verse 15. Because, again, it's not just transformation when we hear the good news. That's great. Accepting it, I love that, doesn't stop there. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Church, they're Bereans. Kind of, right? I mean, they're checking it out. This is part of why we have that name in our church, in our denomination, is because we like to look back at Scripture and make sure what we're being told is true and accurate and honest. The shepherds, they were told a sign, they were given a message, it was crazy, it terrified them, but they were going to go check it out. They didn't just sit there with their flocks and say, we're comfortable here, this is where we want to be, we trust that God is probably telling the truth, that's fine. They said, let's go see. So they did. Verse 16, And they went, not just going, but they went with haste. They were running. They were just like falling over each other, like, we've got to get there. Went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The sign was true. What they were familiar with was filled suddenly with something they were very unfamiliar with in this baby who was the Son of God. It was good news. Look at this, though, verse 17. What these shepherds do. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. It's almost like answered prayer here, right? It's almost like these guys coming up, and they don't just soak in, oh, it's true, it's right, good, and then let that encourage their hearts. They tell them. They tell Mary. They tell Joseph. Hey, this was actually told to us. This was a sign, and you wouldn't believe it. We were just over here in the with our flocks and the sheep, and over the sound of the chewing cud of the sheep here, we heard this angel, and it was bright all. And Mary, it's interesting how Mary responds. And Joseph, you think about this too, they both had angel experiences. They knew about this stuff. And it's specific. Luke takes a second to pause and get you back into the mind of Mary. Look at verse 19. It said, but Mary treasured up all these things. I'm sorry, I skipped verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That's really important. Don't lose track of that. I almost did, but don't lose track of that. Verse 18, because it's not just Mary and Joseph that are there. Sometimes that's what we think about. We look at the nativity, and we go, okay, there's the angel, there's Mary, there's Joseph. Later, the wise men come. We'll talk about that. There's the shepherds, and it's a bunch of animals. Those are the witnesses of Jesus' birth. I think a bunch of shepherds. And probably, think about it, if a bunch of shepherds start running in from the hills, from their fields, what do you think's following after them? A bunch of sheep, yeah, yeah. Because Jesus talked about how sheep follow shepherds in John 15. So sheep are coming in, come storming in haste to this place where this man, this woman, and this baby are. I feel like it's probably going to wake up a few people who are in town for the census. There's a lot of people that had ties to David. There's a lot of people that were traveling. I mean, think about it. The inn was full. There was no room in the inn. That's why they were in the stable. That inn that's full, suddenly they hear this massive commotion. You think maybe a few people are going to check that out? I think so. I think there's a lot of people that are kind of streaming in. You know, they got their, I don't know, they didn't do robes back then, but they throw on their cloak. Come on, honey, let's go check out what's going on. There's a stampede out there. Sheep, shepherds just hollering. I don't know what's going on. And all who heard it, what the shepherds were saying, wondered. Wondered. They were thinking about it. They were questioning it. They didn't necessarily buy it in the moment, but it probably started something. And this is what it looks like when we allow ourselves to be transformed by the good news. Because this transformation happens when we hear it, but especially when we share it. Because now it is multiplied. It's bigger than us. It's not just a me thing. Oh, thank you, God, for saving me. I'm so grateful. And then now I'm just going to stay at home and do my thing, and I'll come to church, but that's it. And I'll go to work, and I won't talk about my faith. That's personal. That's not the shepherd's perspective. These shepherds just couldn't stop talking. This is what happened. This is what we were told, and now it's coming true. They were wondering about it. All these people, what is going on? Maybe they asked some questions. Verse 19, though, and this is where Luke is highlighting for us Mary. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She didn't want to forget this. It's almost like that mental snapshot, you know, of a moment that you really love with your kids. And nowadays, maybe we just grab our phone and take a picture, too, and save that. And some of you are really good about keeping photo albums and, you know, memories, stuff like that. That's great. That's kind of what Mary's doing here. She's treasuring these things, pondering them. She doesn't want to forget this. She doesn't want to forget how this good news has transformed this group of shepherds and really turned around a whole town that was asleep that night, and suddenly it's alive with all these people asking questions, wondering what's going on. I don't think it's just a stable with some barnyard animals, Mary and Joseph, and a handful of shepherds. I think the whole town is crowded around. They can't get enough. What is going on? Good news of great joy for all people. Look at what the shepherds do, though. They don't just stay there. They tell everybody. They get them talking. Then they go back to the field. And the shepherds returned. I'm thinking, back to the fields. Cool. I'm glad it was true. Awesome. Tell everybody we can. We're excited. We're going back. They were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Man, that's incredible. The angel song became the shepherd song. This huge group of angels that had shown up had always been in the presence of God. Didn't really have a chance, except one time, to say, no, that's not the message. They told these guys who initially responded in fear. And then they had to go see for themselves, these shepherds. We're going to go into town. But they were already kind of believing it. That's why they were running. That's why they were in haste. Soon as they saw that the sign was true, they had to tell everybody. They couldn't stop talking about it. But as soon as everybody there knew, I mean, they're like missionaries here, guys. As soon as everybody right there knew, they went back. They went back to their fields, away from other people, back with their sheep. It's interesting, because they could have maybe stuck around, answered some more questions, stuff. These guys aren't theologians, though. They're there to spread the good news. They didn't have to have all the answers. Sometimes it's just helping people ask a few right questions. And it's between them and God. It's incredible to me. They return, and now they're glorifying and praising God. Very similar language to what the angels were doing initially when they talked to them. So you think about, as the sun started to rise that next morning, heaven was still on earth. The angels had gone up into heaven, but heaven was still on earth in the person of that baby and in the message, the good news of great joy that will be for all people. It had transformed these shepherds. These guys were different after that. The way they took care of their sheep, you got to think they may have wandered into town a little more often, or maybe people in town wandered out to see them a little more often. These guys used to just be animal guys, but now all of a sudden, they stirred up something, because that's what the good news does. It transforms us when we really hear it, but especially when we share it. Now, we have this last verse here, and it's part of this section because it kind of puts the stamp on this seal, on this sign. Verse 21 says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, that's the baby, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So we heard this last week, right? We knew about that, that his name was Jesus. It means the Lord is salvation. Because, and we heard this in Matthew, the Lord will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus was here to do. That's the good news. Why is it so important that Luke includes this detail? Have you ever thought about that? Like sometimes we do, oh, shepherds, awesome, radical transformation, cool, good news, nice, angel, okay, cool. And we stop there and we forget this little verse at the end. Don't forget it. It's over a week later, so a lot of that initial stuff had died down. Probably a lot of the people in town had left. Bethlehem wasn't a huge town. There were people there for the census, but once they got counted, they left. At the end of 8 days, he's circumcised. Why did Jesus get circumcised? Why did it matter that there was this sign of the covenant that now Jesus was participating in? I love that Daniel talked about baptism earlier and how we're doing a baptism service. This is the second week in January, January 14th. Because baptism is also a sign of the covenant. It shows, hey, I believe this. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He has the reins of my life, and I don't care who knows about it. And we baptize by immersion because when you go under the water, you identify with Christ in his death. When you come up out of the water, you identify with him in his resurrection. He rose from the dead. And then you get to walk in this newness of life. Now, baptism doesn't save you. You don't need it to be saved. Anybody who told you that might have just been wanting to get you baptized. But it's something kind of like this concept of circumcision where Jesus did it. Jesus got baptized too. He had nothing to repent from. He had nothing that needed to be added to him. He was God himself. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the one and only, the Father." Jesus was God himself. Why did he do this stuff? Why did he get circumcised? Why did he get baptized? I put to you that he was showing how important it was to follow through on each and every promise of Scripture. Jesus was one of us. Jesus came as a person. He went through these things because he wasn't above something that we did. It says in the book of Hebrews, he experienced every temptation we did. Everything that we've had, everything that you wrestle with, that you're like, God, you just don't get it. No. Part of the good news is that the person at the center of it, Jesus Christ himself, knows. He understands. He went through crazy difficulties on earth, obviously at the end of his life, intense suffering, and died for his faith. He was martyred, really, right? I mean, he was crucified on the cross. It wasn't an easy decision, but he did it in obedience to his Father. He was circumcised and called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. All things were coming into place. All things that were meant to be now actually were. I think that's why Jesus got circumcised. I think that's why later, when he's an adult, Jesus winds up getting baptized. Not because, oh, if I don't do this, something's going to be missing from me. And like for you, if you're a believer, maybe you've never been baptized, you're not less of a Christian or something. But the reason he's going through this step, and obviously Jesus didn't circumcise himself, you know, it was the adults around him. But the reason that God himself is even putting his son through these steps is because this is what the nature of the good news is. It was written in the stars. God always had a plan of redemption, even before Jesus came to the earth. People expected him. People expected him. So don't lose track of that. Don't lose track of that. This isn't just good news. It's good news of great joy, and it's not just for you. It's not just for people who think like you or look like you. It's for all people. We should be the kind of people, if you're a believer and a follower in Christ this morning, we should be the kind of people who want to share this. Now, I hope that it's not just a selfish motivation for that, but I will tell you from personal experience, it changes you. It's incredible when you hear this good news, but it's the kind of thing you've got to share. I don't want to hog this good news to myself. It's like if I get this awesome Christmas gift of like a five-player game or something. And I'm like, awesome, and I unwrap it, and I get all the pieces out, and I start setting everything up, and I play it by myself. Because that was my birthday gift, and I'm excited about it. Am I really using that for its purpose? Not so much. But what if I went and told four people and said, I got this awesome game, come check it out with me, and you're all kind of surrounded, you all grab your pieces and you all jump in. That's what it was meant for. That's the good news. It transforms those who really hear it, but then who share it. And I do want to encourage you, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, because a lot of this stuff, especially around Christmas time, just kind of feels like, okay, that's a cool story. I'm glad the kids get to hear that stuff. I'm glad this works for a lot of people, but it's not for me, Tevin. If that's you and this is hard, I get it. Because there's a lot of stuff in here that we do take on faith. But there's also a lot of evidence in here. And I'd love to talk with you about this stuff. I hope that you're like the people in Bethlehem that didn't necessarily buy everything on sight, but they asked questions. It said they wondered at what had happened. It's okay to ask questions. We heard that last week. God's fine with your questions. But then he does ask that you ultimately respond with faith. So I hope that this good news has transformed your life. If you are a follower in Jesus, I bet it has. I bet it has. But please don't keep all that life transformation right there in your seat at the pew. Please don't just you know, keep it in the doors of your house or in the doors of this church. Let it out. Be like these shepherds. Run after what God has for you. Hey, that's the sign that God has given me. I'm going to go see if it's true. I'm going to dig into Scripture. I'm going to get into personal, you know, quiet time, prayer with Him, whatever you need to do to see, is that right? Talk with mentors. Talk with friends. I'd love to talk with you. The good news of Jesus Christ that will be for all people. It's an incredible thing. Jesus was born. He lived this perfect life. He died for our sins that we might have a right relationship with God. That's the good news. And we get to decide what we're going to do about it. Would you pray with me, please, as the worship team comes back up, leads us in worship? Heavenly Father, God, the good news that you gave us of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's almost difficult to believe. It's just that good. God, that you loved us enough to do what we couldn't do, and that was to die in payment for all of our sin for all time. And if we believe in you, Jesus, we get to live in the near presence of God forever. God, I do care deeply for people, though, that that's not the case. They don't believe. Their life is their life. I know this is a hard decision, God, to just say, oh, Jesus, yeah, you're in charge of my life now. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow myself or what somebody else tells me to do. I'm following Jesus now. That's hard. Sometimes that doesn't feel like good news in the moment, but it is. These shepherds who were radically changed and went from keeping watch over their flocks to now telling everybody they knew, people they didn't even know, this good news of great joy for all people. God, I pray that you would meet each and every one of us in this place. Nudge us. Whisper to us. Move us in the direction you want us to go. I can speak for myself here and say, God, I want to follow you with all my heart, with all my soul. And God, send us as well to the people around us, sharing this good news. Thank you for the hope of Christmas. Thank you for your word that's always true. I pray we would let it take hold and grow and change us. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Please stand.
Looks like living a changed, transformed life out there this week. Hey, I hope that if you've got a chance, you can come tonight. We've got a Christmas Eve candlelight service tonight at 5 right here. And no sermon or anything like that. We're going to sing some songs, read some scripture, bring your family out if you can. We did it early so that hopefully then you can get some dinner and do all the festivities later. But hope you have a very blessed Christmas as well. And remember that Jesus is this reason for the season. Thank you all. You're dismissed.